I owe you all a fiver later.
Thank you, Michael. Point and shoot.
We're all there. So good morning, everyone. Hope you all had a great week. Okay. Ruined my opening already. Thank you. No. Hope you all had a great week. I did. I had an excellent week. I turned 42 on Thursday. No, I did not say 24. I said 42. No, it was excellent. And, you know, had loads of encouragement from my family, which is fantastic. And loads of food, which is always fantastic. But you know what? I found some interesting facts about the number 42, because I was interested in it. So I'm going to take you through a few of them. Okay. Did you know the Titanic was traveling at a speed equivalent to 42 kilometers an hour when it collided on the iceberg? Okay. Did you know that the youngest president of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, was 42 when he was elected? I know, I'm good at this. Here's one. This may be discouraging for some of us. A single Big Mac contains 42% of the recommended daily intake of salt. Let the diet begin. Okay. One more for fun. Queen Victoria's husband, Prince Albert, died at the age of 42. They had 42 grandchildren. And their great-grandson, Edward VIII, abdicated the throne at the age of... You guys are getting good at this. Well done. All right, look, let's get straight into the sermon. Title of my sermon is Self or Christ. And we'll be looking today at a string of events involving Peter and the disciples. So if you can, please turn your Bibles with me. I should be going on this. Is it just that way? That way. No, what have I done? There we go. Getting used to this. Yes, please turn your Bibles to me with me to John chapter 18. It's all there. But a bit of background before we go into this. In John 13, Jesus lets his disciples know that he will die and be betrayed. We all know this. And he'll be betrayed by one of them. In verse 37, Peter tells Jesus that he would lay down his life before he allows this to ever happen. Okay, Jesus graciously tells Peter, yo, Pete, it ain't going to happen. What's going to happen is that you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. Okay, in chapter 18, we see that Jesus has now been arrested. Then Peter, true to his word actually, is ready for battle. And he gets a knife and cuts off one of the ears of the disciples, one of the ears of the people that comes to arrest him, arrest Jesus. His name was Malchus. He was a slave to one of the high priests. Jesus takes care of that, but as we all know, but he also stops him. So let's pick it up here in chapter 18, verse 15. And I'll read. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was following Jesus, as was another disciple. That disciple was an acquaintance of the high priest. So he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter remained standing outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the girl who was the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl who was the doorkeeper said to Peter, "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" "I am not," he said. Now the slaves and the temple police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. They were standing there warming themselves, and Peter was standing there with them warming himself. Skip down to verse 25. Now Peter was standing and warming himself. They said to him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it and said, "I'm not." One of the high priest's slaves, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Then Peter denied it again. Immediately, a rooster crowed. My first point. I've moved too quickly. Self-denial or Christ denial? We see here that Peter denied knowing Jesus. Why did he do it? Fear would be a reasonable conclusion. He was frightened of what people would do to him. He might have even lost his life. The mood was not great. It was not a good time to be a Jesus groupie. What would you have done in this situation? Would you have stopped by your friend, your mentor, your Lord? We know that Peter was a married man. Maybe he thought, man, I've got family to take care of, Jesus. Maybe. But you know what's interesting? As we recapped earlier, this was the same person that was willing to go to war. He performed surgical, issues to make that happen. So this was no coward. You know, I think it's easy to judge that, you're Peter, you coward. So what happened? You know what? I read the scripture and I think to myself, Wally, would you ever deny Jesus? And of course, with all the pride that comes all the way from Africa, never! Impossible! You speak blasphemy! That's my initial response. But digging a bit deeper and asking myself a bit honestly, I can see how this can be a temptation. About November last year, we had structural changes at work. How many people love structural changes at work? Hands up. I didn't think that would happen. Yeah. Anyway, we had this changes, and these changes meant that some job positions were lost. A whole department did not exist anymore. And it also meant that people were reassigned roles. Quite tense. We also had a new head of department driving these changes. You can imagine this person was not high on anyone's Christmas list. Anyway, I remember very clearly one of my colleagues coming to me and asking, "So, Wally, I think this woman is this." I'm editing. "And I think that woman is that. And, I think she favors this person. And I think she favors that person. What do you think?" "It's challenging," was my response. But of course, he pushed for, "No, what do you really think? Don't you have an opinion?" So, and I thought, well, okay, I have opinions, yes. But you know what? It's not great to gossip about people, and it's not a great thing. And so I'll keep them to myself, game over, I'm feeling good about myself. That was fine, but afterwards, I got really sheepish, to be honest. All of a sudden, I was thinking, man, he's going to think I'm a Bible basher. He's going to think, religious man, Jesus kid, and every other nickname came to my head. You see, I thought, you know what, it would be easier, it's less stressful not to just to blend in. What about you? When we look at the scripture, something very interesting is that the other gospel accounts of this particular event note that Peter followed at a distance. You see, when Peter was close to Jesus, he was ready to go to war for Jesus. He was ready to fight for his friend, his mentor, his Lord. But when he followed at a distance, what happened? He denied his friend, his mentor, his Lord. We cannot deny our natural instincts to sin if we're not close to Christ or his people. It's just not possible. I urge you to ask yourself today, am I following closely or am I following at a distance? Hebrews 10:23-25 reads, "Let us hold on to the confession of our God, of our hope, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day near, drawing near." You see, in order to deny yourself and not Christ, we have to stay close to God and his people. Those tiring Friday meetings, they will help encourage us. Those meetings that are driven to meet our various life stages, you know, teen this, marriage that, singles this, the loads of them, they will help. Please, I urge you, my friends, do not miss those discipling times. Don't. They help us stay close to God and remind us of what God is doing and has done. Our digging into the Word of God, praying regularly and will also keep you from denying our God. So my first point, self-denial or Christ-denial. Point number two, it's going well now. Self-reliant or Christ-reliant. Please turn your Bibles to John 21, verses 1 to 14. We've got a bit of reading to do here. Thank you. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples were together. I'm going fishing, Simon Peter said to them. We're coming with you, they told him. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. However, the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Men, Jesus called to them. You don't have any fish, do you? No, they answered. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you'll find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. Therefore, the disciple, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Peter heard it was the Lord, he tied his outer garment around him, for he was stripped, and plunged into the sea. But since they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus told them. So Simon Peter got up and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Come and have breakfast, Jesus told them. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread, gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Interesting set of events. You've got to wonder, why in the world did Peter and his mates just get up and decide to go fishing? It would have been more reasonable if this happened if Jesus had not resurrected at all. This is the third time. What's going on? Also, the last time, if you recall in the Gospels, Thomas had tested the validity of Jesus' resurrection. You remember? African accent. Unless I see the holes in his hands and in his feet, I will not believe. That was literally what he did. However, it's just strange that this is a strange set of events, in my own opinion. So here they are, they're fishing, going back to the old job. Why? Let's speculate. Peter was despondent, feeling guilty, a tad low, unresolved about Roostergate. He and his mates had a need, perhaps finances. Fishing all night, a bit broke, need to get paid. Overwhelmed, perhaps. Gosh, Jesus is risen. Now what? He's risen and appeared twice. Okay, what do we do now? But what was Jesus' reaction to all this? Let's have a look. He met their needs, didn't he? He actually guided them to success. I wouldn't have. He comforts them by preparing breakfast for them. Also set up a nice warm fire. It would have been chilly, I guess, in the morning, so he just set that up as well. Have you ever felt down? Maybe confused? A bit despondent? Lacked a bit of direction, perhaps? What do you do when you're down? What are your defaults? Well, mine is simple. Mine is comfort by all means necessary. That's what I do. I recall in our first year of marriage, Fiona and I lived in rented accommodation. So we decided that this would only be a short-term thing. And, you know, the plan was that in 18 odd months, you know, would save enough for a deposit and get a little flat. You know, we can all relate to that. We all do that, don't we? You better. Anyway, the last thing we wanted at this time was for one of us to lose our jobs. Well, guess who that person happened to be? Me. I lost my job, and for about 4 to 5 months, I was out of work. You know what? It was discouraging. And you know what? I felt that Fiona is doing my job. She's bringing home the bacon. I'm sitting here searching hard. Nothing is happening. I stopped praying. I wasn't happy. But I needed comfort, and I needed it quick. So what did I do? Well, you guys know about that jam donuts at Tesco. You do know. 10 in a pack. Do I need to go on? Just one day, I was just on a low one. I thought, you know what? It's time for those jam donuts. It is time to get involved. Each bite of that sugary sin was excellent. The sugar rush told me I was a good guy. I was rich. And there was no pain. Anyway, after eating all 10, I don't see a problem there. After eating all 10, I fell into a deep sleep. TV was on. I'm in a vest. I'm asleep. Guess who walks through the door? After a hard day's work. My lovely Fifi walks through the door, and the conversation was not pleasant. You see, I turned to stuff that would make me feel good. In this instance, it was food, but I know I have many vices. It's my comfort zone. In the passage, Peter and his mates decided to turn to what gave them comfort. I'll go fishing. I'm good at this. Can you relate? Are you of the opinion that you can do life all by yourself? What are your defaults? I want to get married. I need to sort it. I've messed up big. I need to sort it. My child needs to change this and that. I need to sort it. Feeling down, feeling out. I need to sort this. Not true. Not true. We need to go to God. Not our defaults. We need to go to God. It is in Him that we will find rest. Perhaps you're not a disciple right now, not a Christian. This is all babble. I can relate. It is in Christ you will catch the fish. It is in Jesus you will find real purpose. Study the Bible and see how God strengthens the nets that to help you deal with the catch that life throws at you. He looks to comfort you. He looks to take care of you. There's a scripture, excellent scripture, that summarizes this for me. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to flip. No one told me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. My fellow Christians, my friends, my family, we need to default to God, not ourselves. He cares. He sent His Son to die for you. Rely on Him. Don't think because life has become challenging. I urge you, don't think because life has become challenging. He's forgotten all of a sudden. He hasn't. You see, the interaction during this event, back in the passage in John 21, it would have reminded the disciples, I guess, of a few words Jesus said to them earlier on. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. You see, this is not about being practical and ignoring the adjustments we need to make in life. That's not what this is about. All I'm saying is that our reliance, our primary reliance, our go-to guy should be God, not our strengths. The disciples had no success until Jesus told them where to fish. Their hunger was only satisfied when they looked to Jesus. The same is true for us. We are not self-reliant, but Christ-reliant. Amen? You following me? My last point. Self-focus or Christ-focus? Turn back to John 21. And we'll be reading from verses 15 down to 19. Ready? When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him. "You know that I love you." "Feed my lambs," he told him. A second time, he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him. "You know that I love you." "Shepherd my sheep," he told him. He asked him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved that he had asked a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you. Feed my sheep." "I assure you, when you were young, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie and carry you where you don't want to go." He said this to signify by what kind of death he would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, "Follow me." So, we get to the crescendo, the punchline. Jesus asked Simon Peter specifically, "Do you love me, dude? Do you care about me more than these things? The fish, the finances, the worry, even yourself?" Peter responds to Jesus, "Yes, I do." After the third time of asking, this becomes unbearable for Peter. After each question, Jesus tells him, "This is what you're to do if you're focused on me. Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed those that belong to me." I've got a question for you. What does feeding the lamb and shepherding the sheep look like to you? Think about that. Well, you know what? I've been a lamb that's been fed, and I'm not talking about the donuts. And I've certainly been the sheep that has needed shepherding. As many of you are aware, my sister died last December. It was painful. It was hard to pray. It was harder to read the Bible. Every time I looked at the Bible, all these thoughts would go through my head, and it was so scrambled eggs. I remember I could not read. I would actually listen to audio because my head was always so filled with stuff. Grief does that to you. It drains you. I felt empty. My only sibling was dead. And it was not easy to manage. But you know what? You guys fed me. Your hugs, your kind words, your prayers, your visits, your calls, your offer to help on all fronts. My family group at Stratford was amazing. I also got some really great cards. I'll read some to you. Excuse me. "Dear Wally, words can never say enough at a time like this. But please know that caring thoughts and prayers are with you. Thinking of you and praying for you and your family, God is your strength and guide. I'm being fed. Wally and family, thinking of you at this difficult time. You're in our thoughts and prayers, dear brother. We love you. More food. Dear Wale, we just wanted to encourage you with the loss of your sister. It is a difficult time, but God will heal and bring comfort. You're inspired by your steadfast devotion to God. All this time of adversity, truly, you have built your rock on, and the storms have not destabilized you. We love you lots. That's what feeding looks like to me. Jesus had just fed Peter and his mates. Now he was addressing a spiritual issue. You see, Peter had lost focus. He had focused on himself. And maybe that's why Jesus asked him three times. He had denied Christ three times. Now he was confessing his love for Christ three times. But Jesus did not take away the fact that there was work to be done. Jesus reminds him of his purpose as a disciple, then lets him know that there's a job. There's a clip I have. Since Mike is away, I thought I would fill in the clips. And hopefully you'll find this really helpful.
When you give homeless people money, do you ever wonder how they spent it? Today I'm going to give a homeless guy $100, and I'm going to follow him and see how he spent it. Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right.
I'm Josh.
I'm Thomas.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I just tried to make him up and give him something to eat.
I just want to, like, give back to people.
Yeah.
Not going to be that much, but...
Hey, anything's appreciated. Oh, good.
$100 here.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, just keep it. It's your money now.
Oh, that's...
Just want, you know...
No, really, are you sure?
Yeah, go ahead, it's yours.
I'm starting to tear up.
No,
over
it's
there.
Okay.
Well, that's like incredible.
It's okay, it's all right.
I've never... Can I?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
I've never had... in my life.
Nice meeting you. I hope you can, you know, have a good use of that money.
It will be, sir.
Okay, great. See ya. Just keep filming. Just make sure he doesn't see you. Alright, he just came out. What'd he get? Alright, let's go across the street. Let's go, go. Let's go follow him.
Giving them food.
I'm gonna talk to him.
You want some hard?
Oh, because it's too hot for her.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, what are you doing here?
Hey, actually, come here. I need to talk to you.
Thank you.
I was following you the entire time.
Oh yeah.
After I give you the money, we. There's a camera. My camera is right there. You see the camera?
Oh yeah.
Do you even know them? Like.
No.
I feel like I owe you apologies because I. You went to a liquor store, right? Earlier?
Oh, you thought I was going to get all smacked up drunk, huh?
I thought you were going to buy like alcohol or something.
Yeah, but there's things money can't buy, and my own, I get a happiness out of what I'm doing. No.
Here.
I'm fine.
No, you just touched my heart. You know, this is not $100.
No, this is...
I want you to keep it.
I'm stunned.
You see, we, like this man, we've been given a gift. It is a gift of salvation. It's the most precious thing you can ever have. It transforms lives. Sinners are saved. It is amazing. We can't keep it to ourselves. We cannot. Should not. We should give it to others. Please think about those you can reach out to and feed them. I'll go over the 3 points in conclusion. Self-denial or Christ-denial? What are your defaults? Self-reliance or Christ-reliance? And finally, self-focus or Christ-focus? Thank you for listening.